Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. It's April 1st, 2037, and we're here to see if you catch that. And if you didn't, then, well, you'll figure it out. We're going to jump into Proverbs 1. I'm just going to cover one or two because I actually realized when I started this study, I started in Proverbs 1, then we went over and finished, you know, I didn't want to go on the wrong days. So I have a little something else to share with you here. But I will tell you that Proverbs 1, the first chapter, and basically the first 33 verses, I mean, this is talking about the author, which is Solomon, okay? It's the son of David, the wisest man that ever lived. And it talks about wisdom. And there's a couple of, you know, little pieces of information. And one of the main parts is to avoid bad company. And that's something that, you know, parents, if they care about their children, are going to teach them and at least instruct them to avoid bad company, because bad company corrupts good morals, and it's the bottom line. And then that we should heed wisdom's advice. So we need to seek wisdom, and wisdom shouts in the street. Wisdom is all about you if, in fact, you know the Lord. Now, I just got to say a couple things about what's going on with Governor Pence of Indiana. Governor Mike Pence of Indiana taking a stand, and I think he's not doing real well. I think he's probably getting hammered pretty good. Now the governor of Arkansas, same thing, and this is all over this thing that kind of came out of the blue, and I don't know if you guys are following this or not, but it pretty much takes a lot of emphasis off what's going on with Hillary Clinton, and I think people need to not pay as much attention to this thing right here, right now. Start listening a little bit more about what's going on with Hillary Clinton, because Hillary Clinton is a lying thief. She stole information from the American public, and she's a liar, and it's going to be shown. And I just dare say that things go a little goofy, and she could end up being the president of the United States of America. So people need to wake up. But what's going on with this Mike Pence situation is, they are claiming and clamoring and slamming that he is asking the state legislature for new legislation to make it clear that Christian florists and bakers could be forced to participate in weddings that violate their religious beliefs. Here's the problem with this. This whole thing. We've taken the Civil Rights Act. We've taken a march across the bridge with Martin Luther King Jr. We've taken all this stuff about people of color that have been persecuted in the world, let alone in this country, this great country, you know, for decades, for years, for centuries in other places. And we're now trying to dovetail in sin. Now, I'm approaching this from a Christian viewpoint because I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. And this is a story of, this is a show that we talk about various stories about living according to the Word of God in today's world, and it isn't any different than it ever was. It doesn't mean that sin is not fun. In fact, we're taught that sin is fun for a season. Sin is an enjoyable thing. Missing the mark of perfection, of what God says is perfection, is fun. It pleasures your soul. It pleasures your flesh. If you don't know Christ, you can't pleasure your spirit, because your spirit isn't alive, so it's just soul and flesh. But in all reality, we're taking something that is a sin, that is not right according to God, and dovetailing it in with ethnicity. Not do that. I'm in a little bit of a conversation. I hate that, but I'm in this little group talking about that on Facebook now. It's not, you cannot put those together. That is a quantum leap to say that sin, you know, the homosexuality, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, they don't want to say what it is anymore. They just want to say LGBT, LGBT, LGBT. Okay? Here's the problem with that. Those are all sinful situations. They are. All of them. Lesbianism, female homosexuals, gays, male homosexuals, bisexual, that's just sexual, no matter who you are, and transgender. You know, I guess that's up for interpretation. The bottom line is that cross-dressers, is it drag queens, is it who knows what it is, but it's this group of people that like to do some things, and we cannot have any laws that would ever infringe on any of their ability to be able to do that and not get all the benefits that everybody else gets or is able to get. I'm going to just skip most of this article, honestly, because I think the last sentence of this article tells the whole story. And what's interesting is, well, just listen to what this is. Chris Plant says this. I kind of like him. WMAL radio host Chris Plant says this, that Christians today are very easy targets for the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender lobby and the left. And he wondered this, if they would be willing to force a Muslim baker to provide a sheet cake with the image of Muhammad on it. Would that same group of people force a Muslim baker to provide a sheet cake with an image of Muhammad on it? Especially if Muhammad was going to be degraded in any way, other than they just don't even do images of him because of that. So this is a one-way street, and it's a street that you don't want to drive down. You really don't want to drive down it because it's an ugly place. I was really struggling as I read this morning. I had so many things going through my head. We cannot do that. Bakery. We know of a bakery. We know of a florist in our own area here, Oregon and Washington, that have been attacked and literally driven out of business as a result of them not wanting to perform an act for homosexuals. Now, I say that every single person is in the sights of people that are doing that. We have a very small minority, literally a very small minority of that actually is a practicing lesbian, gay person, bisexual, homosexual, or however you want to look at that, or a transgender person. I mean, if you had 100 people in a group, there might be one or two at the most. So you're taking an extremely small minority and saying it's the majority, and we have to make sure everything fits so they don't get hurt. You know, it's kind of like, you know, let's give a trophy to everyone because of participation. I can remember seeing some of the participation trophies coming in and making people feel better, but nowadays there's always that. You know, there's always that. And the way it actually goes is somebody wins, somebody loses. You know, we just had a Super Bowl on our team. The Seahawks lost. Poorly executed plays at the very end of the game. They lost. They didn't win. They lost. It's okay. A great team. We love them, but they lost. Winner, loser. I dare say we could see the time coming when there'll be a winner and second place. We can't say loser. We'll have to say second place. And out of two teams, when you're second place, you're a loser. Doesn't mean you're always going to be a loser at everything you do, but you lost that game. Here's the deal with God. And tomorrow we'll jump into the second chapter of Proverbs, and it gets into some really deep stuff. And I hope we don't have any public situations that I can bring up newsworthy that is going to be dealing with chapter 2, because you'll see when we study it tomorrow. But I was listening reading this morning what Anne Graham Lotz wrote. Here's what she wrote today. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Matthew 6:12. Jesus, the Lamb of God, God's own son, by the way, only son, was sacrificed on the altar of a wooden Roman cross. Normally, crucifixion victims cursed and screamed obscenities and even passed into unconsciousness from the initial pain. Jesus reacted in a stunningly different way. He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23:34. 50 days later, when Peter preached at Pentecost, Jesus' prayer was answered when some of the very men who crucified him repented of their sins, placed their faith in him, and were baptized in his name. If God could forgive the men who nailed his son to the cross, why do you think He won't forgive you. Now, as I read that, I thought, that's awesome, but boy, she's taking a real bunch of liberty there, you know, saying it's actually the guys who crucified him that repented. Then I thought, well, wait a minute. Let's study that out. So just jump over real quick, just for a second here, to the book of Acts chapter 2, when we see the situation that happened. And it's when Peter took his stand with the 11 and stood up. Well, actually, not with the 11. But Peter took his stand. And it was the 11, but he took his stand with the 11 and raised his voice and preached in Acts chapter 2. And he said a couple of interesting things. And I've marked my Bible now here. I'd never had it marked here before. But in chapter 23, he was talking all about Jesus being delivered up. It said, this man delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross. He actually said it with his mouth to them as he's preaching. I thought, what a message. You've got a crowd there that's wondering, what's going on here? What is all these noises? You hear these people talking. Are they drunk? What is it? And he said, they're not drunk as you suppose in verse 15. And he goes on and he quotes, you know, many scriptures from the Old Testament. And then he said, men of Israel, in verse 22, listen to these words, Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. And then he goes on to say a bit more. Then he comes up towards the end. He says, for this, in verse 34, it was not David who ascended into heaven, but he himself says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make mine enemies a footstool for thy feet. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He's speaking right to the people that killed him 50 days before. Watch this. Now, when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart, and they said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. So he's actually speaking to the people that did crucify. He's speaking to a huge group, and he's saying, you crucified him. You crucified him twice. You killed him. You did it. But it was because of prophecy, because he gave his life. You did this, but he gave his life. You need to understand that. And he did it for you. And they said, what should we do? He said, repent. Repent. So when you hear someone like this and you hear this little thing, be able to go back and go, oh, it's nice to know the whole counsel of God. And it's nice to be able to go back and mark my Bible. It says it right in there. The very people who crucified him, he forgave them. So if God could forgive the men who nailed his son to the cross, why do you think he won't forgive you? He will. All you do is receive the gift that he's already given. See you guys tomorrow at 11 o'clock.